today, today, right now, right here, this specific day, finds us in a very particular liminal time. We are in what the Celts call a thin place, this now, which we call November 30th. On November 1st, or actually on All Hallows' Eve, we began the season of Samhain, which is, in the ancient calendar, the winter quarter which starts the year, the ancient year, of the people in what is now the British Isles. And it's still observed as the beginning of the year by many folks in the 21st century. It also happens that today, November 30th, is the first Sunday of Advent, or the first day of the Christian liturgical calendar. Advent is the season when we turn our attention to the promise of the end time, not meaning some version of the left behind apocalyptic, but the time when we finally realize that it is fully within our human power, the time when we realize it is fully within our human power to live in true shalom right here, right now. Advent is the reminder that we aren't currently living that existence, not because it is impossible, but because we have not exercised the will necessary. The question of Advent is when. When will we choose to embody the deepest hope and desire of the Holy One for us? Us being the whole universe, us being all that exists as far away as we can imagine. We are also less than a month from the winter solstice and the northern hemisphere tilting toward the return of the light, and only days after that, we begin the Gregorian calendar year with January, named after Janus, the two-faced god. And so in this exact liminal moment, we are halfway through 2 months of Kairos. Kairos, which is that expansive, awe-filled experience of time that is holy because it is whole and because it is filled with attentive presence. This is not normal time, unless we buy into the cultural attitude that every day is just like every other day, and all days are measured by the same criteria. Therefore, in this liminal time, we have some choices. We can busy ourselves with what the world keeps throwing in front of us, because as we well know, the world has a very specific agenda for us in November and December. Or we can step into a different reality altogether. The first will feel familiar, if not always comfortable or happy. The latter will challenge us with unsettling questions and a hitherto unexplored map of branching potential. The first will mostly fulfill the unconscious, if not overt, expectations of our friends and family and colleagues. The latter will assuredly raise eyebrows and will vibrate with the whispered warning, "Here be dragons." The first is predictable. The latter is whimsical and risky and, yes, sometimes frightening. We choose. Let's just remember that fact. We choose. No one chooses for us. Not our parents, not our spouse, not our children, not our boss, not our best friend, not our church community, not Wall Street, not Walmart. We choose. We live our life. We live it intentionally or we live it mindlessly, or we live it to try to please someone or something else. But my life is my choice. Your life is your choice. So while you think about that, I'm going to forge ahead. And in case you were wondering, I'm going to be speaking about the different reality option. So if you are in a life place, if you are in a life place where upsetting the status quo is more than you can face, I advise you to turn out and ponder whatever it is you need to do with the rest of your day after fellowship hour. Now, of course, we know that every season of life provides its own liminal moments. Every season provides thin places, and every second has the potential to be a second of Kairos. But in the cycle of human experience, there are periods that either externally or internally partake of certain emotional nuance. And the latter half of Lunasa, which is the autumn quarter, right through the end of Samhain, which is the winter quarter, gives us a special opportunity, reinforced by our mammalian nature, to pay attention to the psychic experience of being fallow, of lying still, of dreaming long, and of listening to those dreams, to the experience of not knowing. If we pay attention, we notice that the natural world around us is stripped to the bones, often exposing the strong core of our fellow creatures in the botanic world. Trunks and branches stand stark and seemingly barren. We can notice the old wounds from past storms and dry times. This is the season of pausing and waiting, as what is deep within lies dormant, softening toward the warmth and dampness of new life, toward what Hildegard of Bingen calls viriditas. We are resting from all the knowing the right answers, the right directions, the right expectations, the right goals. We are resting in a fertile experience of not knowing. In his book, Naked Spirituality, Brian McLaren calls this season harmony, the time of spiritual deepening. And in contrast to perplexity, the season of spiritual survival that comes just before this, he describes it with these words. This season is often associated with the word wait in Scripture. Wait on the one who will not be limited to a name, we are told. Don't slide back into anxiety and anger. Don't rush ahead in a rush to judgment. Don't demand a quick solution, as you may have done when you were praying, when? Don't assume the worst, as you may have done when you were praying, no. Don't presume that the answer is forthcoming, as you may have done when you were praying, why? No. Just wait. Relax. Rest. Don't feel the situation has to be fixed. Hold on and keep your eyes open, and you will eventually behold what you do not see now. In other words, Samhain, or the winter moment, or the season of harmony, is a period of stillness and letting go, of what I call looking with soft eyes. Observing without needing to fit what you observe into an established worldview. A season of breathing slowly, of open-minded anticipation. And now you see why we have to choose between the world's agendas and this different reality. They cannot exist in the same psychological or spiritual space. They are polar opposites. The pace of normal consumer life, much less the pace leading up to December 25th, does not lend itself to stillness, to pondering what is outworn and must be released, to offering our naked selves to the deep replenishment of non-action and non-production. If we want to learn the mystery and experience the miracle of this season, we need to step out of the social and cultural imperatives and listen for a different voice. We need to become attuned to what is happening with our internal truth, rather than accepting whatever label we have internalized from old tapes, or whatever shape we have taken on from being relegated to old pigeonholes. We know how deadly some labels and pigeonholes can be. We know how deadly some tapes and the stories they tell can be. We are watching one play out in Ferguson, Missouri. And yes, that story does have a sub-story that's laden with fear of those who look different from whoever the us is doing the looking. Those with dark skin, those with light skin, fear of what we believe we know about others with different experiences than ours. But that story has another sub-story that few of us are bothering to look at because it is a story that titillates and entertains us in other venues. And that is the story that life itself is dangerous and therefore we need to protect ourselves from people around us who are all potential enemies. This is Game of Thrones and Survivor. We need to own that Darren Wilson does not exist in a vacuum. He does not even exist in some cultural reality removed from ours here in Colorado. Our choices, ours, yours and mine, are helping create his perceptual set every day. We call it the butterfly effect. But we need to remember it isn't always about the weather in Hong Kong. Sometimes it is about the weather in our heart. And our willingness to accept stories of fear and hostility, to know that we live in continual danger, while relinquishing stories of hope and justice and compassion and vision and love, our silence in the face of a pervasive and life-denying cultural story that is a lie, has profound and far-reaching consequences. Or let me give you a slightly less fraught example from my own life. My almost 87-year-old father is preparing to leave the house he has lived in for the past 4 decades. When we first talked seriously about this possibility about 6 months ago, he mused, "Your mother died in this house. I expected I would die here. It never occurred to me that I might not." Although she died almost 3 decades ago, Dad has become content spending his life in the rooms he once shared with Mom. never questioning the assumptions that undergirded that, one of which was that they made decisions about where they would live together. In the process of considering, rejecting, reconsidering, and finally becoming excited by the idea of moving, he has had to consider the story he has been telling himself and the character he played in that story, a story that had only one perceived conclusion. He is taking time to let go of what he knows, an old story that is no longer serving him well, and to move into an inner space of not knowing. My mother is no longer alive, but he is. And while he has done many things since her death, his perceptual set limited the range of the options that he embraced. He expected to die first. When he didn't, when in fact my vibrant and energetic mother died very young of cancer, he never fully accepted that he hadn't died first. So there were all sorts of questions he never asked. He made piecemeal choices, and some of those choices were very rich and very interesting. But he never questioned or revisioned the foundational belief that he was part of a couple, a team. As he gets ready to make this physical transition from one address to another, he is looking not only at his emotional and psychological choices, but he is looking at the tangible pieces that comprise his environment. Some of his furniture, for instance, is no longer practical, nor does it make sense in the new space he has chosen. The couch that was a legitimate purchase when not only mom and dad, but my two younger siblings were all living in the same house, is just too big for one person, and it's too low for him to use easily. The king-size bed that literally cannot leave the bedroom, they had to remove the window to get the headboard in 40 years ago, is a waste of space. He has been using mom's half of it as a bedside table for 30 years. But an actual bedside table is more flexible and practical. And besides, he's pondering the advantages of an adjustable single bed, which will free up acres of floor space in his new bedroom. But he has to choose. He can keep the old items along with the old story they tell, but he cannot move to the new place with them. He has to choose. Old story, new story. We are encouraging and supporting him in this process, urging him to lean forward rather than looking backward, to choose life rather than death, to decide what he wants around him, what brings him joy, what he loves the most, and to let the rest drop away. We are inviting him to not know all the answers, to be willing to wait for clarity. Because this is the task of Samhain, the winter quarter. This task of allowing the outworn or useless clutter to become rich compost for the new life. Winter is about turning under old stories to make room for new ones. It's a time of letting go, of stripping bare, of lying naked without an already determined persona in place, without familiar expectations, without long-practiced roles. It is a time of not knowing. like the trees. We let the leaves and the disguises, however appropriate and beautiful they have been, fall away and accept that our strong bones will stand exposed. Sometimes what we lay aside is an identity. Sometimes it's habits or thought patterns. Sometimes material possessions. But every person, every community, every organization comes with unfailing predictability to this part of its cycle. And this actual season in the Northern Hemisphere reminds us that we need to attend to this work intentionally, with a quiet and courageous heart. We are so much more than we sometimes know. And the most important thing we are is enough. Enough in our naked ontological being. In this month, in particular, the idea of being and having enough puts us in extreme tension with our culture, which has created a story that tells us we are most emphatically not enough. The societal story of December, the almost deafening proclamation that we cannot possibly be enough without more beauty, more possessions, more power, glamour, money, leisure, sex, social engagements on our calendar, is a thundering lie. But it is enormously challenging to draw the silence and the emptiness around us long enough to acknowledge that we are enough. We do not need fame or fortune, strength or beauty, intelligence or power to be enough. We are enough, stripped naked to reveal the divine image with which we are imprinted. We can not know. We can unknow everything that restricts us. And the not knowing allows us to discover new stories to tell. Not knowing allows us to unfold freely and flexibly as we try new ways, new hope, new vision, new relationship, new boundaries, new thresholds. The true stories we incarnate don't depend on any peripheral embellishment. Our true welcome is generous and expansive, not because it reflects what we build around us, but on who we are within. Our true relationships are rich and deep because they are honest, reflecting the real self and the real other. Our true goals are aspirational and visionary because they are no longer limited by old stories or old boundaries. And so I invite you to throw yourself with abandon into Samhain spirituality. I invite you to welcome this time with attentive presence as a deliberate practice of letting go, of not knowing. I invite you to open into fallow waiting. I invite you to delight in the far-flung journey of curiosity rather than the safe haven of knowledge. As much as you may love an old story, I invite you to listen for a new one, or at least listen as if you've never heard the old one before. And I offer you this blessing for your adventure. Miracle of miracles. May we tune our ears to hear the amazing whispers right here, right now. The invitation of mystery, the assurance of love, the blessing of forgiveness, the lilt of humor, the marvel of curiosity. May we be blessed to open soft eyes on this very moment, sizzling with the energy of life unfolding into pied brilliant blossom and dripping with honeyed fruit. May we be blessed to inhale spirit breath and lean soul deep into light and darkness now, right here. Until we know, right now, right here, until we know everything new. Everything permeated with wonder and awe and eternity. Let it be so.